This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.
This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Sports Talk right here on WKAR AM 870. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV. And today, and we'll be talking sports with you here over the next hour, getting you ready for this big weekend, and it is a big weekend in Michigan State sports for sure. There is plenty to talk about this afternoon, and we will certainly get into that with you coming up today. We invite you to join us via the phone at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or you can also reach us toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. We also want to remind you that we do have a ticket giveaway going on that I'm sure you will be interested in. We have a pair of tickets for Tuesday night's Michigan State men's basketball game with Indiana. And if you want to get involved in that drawing for those tickets, you can call us today at 884-4783. That's 884-4783 if you want to get involved in those tickets. And Alex is on the other side of the glass today. He will be taking your phone calls. But to begin this afternoon's show, we want to go out to our guest line and welcome in Jake Boss Jr., the head baseball coach at Michigan State University, the Green and White in Greenville, South Carolina right now, ready to begin their season. Oh, in about 4 hours or so. So, Jake, want to say thank you for taking a couple of minutes here on this game day. What's the weather like today in South Carolina?
Well, thanks for having me, Jeremy. It's a perfect day down here. It's sunny and not a cloud in the sky, and it's about 60 degrees. So not too hot, but, yeah, it's a beautiful day.
Well, Michigan State getting ready to face Furman. What's it like for you, Jake? Opening day this is for you. Got to be a little butterflies, I'm sure, but a lot of excitement, again, for this 2013 season.
Yeah, always. I mean, there's always some butterflies and a lot of excitement. You know, like you said, trying to, get ready to see what we can do and where we're at, you know, and our guys have worked hard indoors. We've had a lot of preparation from the first day of school up to this point, and it's exciting to have a chance to get out and compete.
Well, when you look at this trip, now you've made it for six straight years going to South Carolina. Of course, you have the tie-in with Craig Brown, who is the owner of the Greenville Drive down there. He's a Michigan State alumnus. What's it like, Jake, now to be there for the university for its sixth straight year, but a great way for you guys to open your season down in South Carolina, again, with an MSU alumnus adding a helping hand?
Well, Craig and his wife, Vicky, are just tremendous hosts, and they really roll out the red carpet for us. And this year we're actually making this trip twice, back-to-back weekends. We'll be back here next weekend also. So, they really treat us well down here. It's a beautiful city, and it's a great place for our families to come down and parents and just the strong contingent of Spartans down here. So you get a chance to play, treated like that. You play in a great ballpark against good competition. It really doesn't get a whole lot better.
Well, you had the Big Ten Championship 2 years ago, took it to another level last year by making the NCAA tournament. But I know some concerns for you, especially early on in the season. You lose practically your entire infield, so you've got a new look to your infield this year. I guess give me a couple of thoughts on what's it like for a head coach to look out there on day number one and see a lot of new faces in that infield, and maybe some of your expectations for those guys.
Well, it's exciting. At the same time, there have been some sleepless nights. I won't lie about that. There's just the unknown is something that, kind of makes you nervous as a coach sometimes. And I like our guys. I mean, we've got a brand new infield, like you said. Johnny Martinez will be playing third base for us. And he's just a solid little ball player that can do a lot of good things. Kevin Gergen will take over at second for us. And Ryan Richardson is a junior college transfer. Will be a short, and both those guys are rather inexperienced at this level. And so, it's going to be some trial and error. We're going to have to be patient with them. At the same time, I know that they're very talented kids, and, they'll be playing, I would think the majority of the time, and they'll be a lot better, I'm sure, at the end of the year than they will at the beginning. So we may have to go through a little bit of growing pains, but we feel confident in what they can do. They've practiced really well, and like I said, we'll know a lot more probably six, 7 hours from now.
Well, one thing that's always key in baseball is pitching. And, you know, when I look at your starting rotation of Andrew Wozak, David Garner, Mick Van Vossen, you've got some experience there mixed in with some youthfulness. Van Vossen, of course, you know, missed some time with the injury, but he's back. Wozak and Garner have certainly been two guys who have logged a lot of innings for you here over the past couple of years. And I would think knowing that you're going in with those three guys each and every weekend has to give the team a lot of confidence.
Yeah, it really does, Jeremy. And Andrew's the definition of a leader, in my opinion. I mean, he's as good as a leader as we've had since we've been here. And a kid that just a first-class kid who works hard and has earned everything that he's gotten, and he deserves to be the Friday night guy. So, you know, we're excited that he's leading the pitching staff. I think we are pretty deep on the mound. You know, David is an extremely talented young man that should have a very good chance in pro baseball after this year. And Mick, you know, like you said, he was injured at the beginning of the year last year, just kind of a fluky type of thing, nothing serious, and really had a solid year for us. And it's going to be fun to watch him take that next step. You know, he's still learning. He's still learning how to pitch and still learning how to work, you know, at this level. But at the same time, he's got some good guys to learn from. So, you know, we've got some depth in the bullpen. And, yeah, I mean, we like where we're at on the mound, especially. So, you know, I would hope and think that those guys will be able to be very consistent for us all year.
Jake Boss Jr., Michigan State baseball coach, joining us for a couple of minutes here on Sports Talk on AM 870. Jake, I need to ask you, too, about Justin Allman, who is your freshman from Holt here locally, who you have slated right now as the closer. He's certainly somebody who's known for his velocity, but I'm sure he needs to tailor his pitching a little bit coming from high school into college and make some of those adjustments as well.
Well, you know, Justin's an extremely talented young man, and maybe one of the more talented kids that I've had the chance to coach. And yeah, I think he learned early in the fall that, you know, his velocity isn't necessarily what's going to get guys out at this level. And eventually everybody can catch up to velocity. And so he's really learning to fine-tune some things. He's learning the breaking ball and, you know, kind of fine-tuning his mechanics where he can repeat it maybe a little bit more consistently and stay in the strike zone with some more consistency. But, you know, with the arm that he has, he's pretty valuable for us at the end of the game. And closing games out, he's a kid that can throw on short days during short rests and a kid that always wants the baseball. So, you know, he's a confident kid, and that's what you need at the end of the ballgame.
You've also got another newcomer with a very familiar name, Cam Gibson, son of former Spartan great Kirk Gibson. Cam is slated to be one of your top outfielders, not in the starting rotation to begin the season, but I can imagine that Cam will see plenty of action throughout the season.
Yeah, you know, I think so, Jeremy. We return all three of our outfielders from last year, and it's a pretty strong group. But with that said, Cam gives us something that, you know, we probably haven't had in a while, and that's just, you know, raw speed. And he really can run. He's a difference maker with his speed, and, you know, he's a kid that plays just like his dad. I mean, he's reckless, and he's aggressive, and it's fun to watch sometimes. We're going to have to tone him down sometimes too, I think, but I'd rather have it that way than the opposite. So, you know, he's going to have a good career here at Michigan State. It's going to be fun to watch him get better.
Well, Jake, again, I know you're really busy today, just a couple hours before first pitch. We appreciate a couple minutes today. Again, Michigan State taking on Furman at 5 o'clock. If you go to the Spartans website, you can follow live stats. They've also got some updates on Twitter. Again, Jake, we appreciate a couple minutes. Best of luck this weekend as the Green and White open the season in South Carolina.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jeremy.
All right. Jake Boss Jr., Michigan State baseball coach, joining us for a couple of minutes here on Sports Talk. And again, first pitch for them is about 3 hours and 45 minutes away. So the Green and White getting ready to begin their season. And it was a great year last year for Michigan State. Again, getting to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 1979, breaking that streak. Now, they did not have a lot of success once they got out to the West Coast, but still a very successful season for Michigan State. And one thing that helped MSU get to the NCAA tournament last year was their record to begin the season. When they started the season in South Carolina last year and then ultimately went to Florida, they had so much success, built up such a nice record that even though they didn't win the Big Ten or the regular season or the Big Ten tournament, they built up such a resume that their RPI was good enough to get them into the NCAA tournament. And that's something we just haven't seen very much recently is, you know, with Purdue winning the Big Ten tournament, you had two Big Ten teams in the NCAA tournament last year, and that's something that Northern schools and the Big Ten Conference in particular don't get a lot of, and that's multiple bids into the NCAA tournament. In years past, it's been basically a one-bid conference, and that's whoever wins the conference tournament at the end has a chance to get into the NCAA tournament, of course, but the other teams are kind of left on the outside looking in. Now, there was a poll that came out last week among the Big Ten coaches deciding ranking the Big Ten teams this year, and the Spartans were ranked third in that. Indiana was ranked number one, Nebraska two, Michigan State three, Ohio State four, Minnesota five, and Illinois six. And, you know, Jake says, you know, they talked about it 5 years ago when he took over the program about that increase in expectations, and he wanted to have a little buzz around the program, and that's certainly what has happened because of the guys' work that they put in. He says they've earned the success on the field, and now we're in a position where people expect us to do some good things, and that's a program statement. He says you can't guarantee a championship every year, but at the same time, we certainly expect to compete for one. And, you know, they do have big shoes to fill because that 2012 senior class that left had 130 wins and 94 losses in their four seasons, and that's including three straight 30-win seasons. Tony Buchaferro, Andrew Carpenter, Bryce Jenny, Andy Johnson, Chad Nelson, Justin Scanlon, Tim Simpson, you know, are all guys who contributed to that, along with guys like Ryan Jones and Torsten Boss, who and Tony Weber, who left for professional baseball after their junior year. So you combine all those seniors that left with the influx of those three gentlemen that I just mentioned who left after their junior years to have a shot to play professional baseball. And it, for Coach Boss, it's a little bit of a double-edged sword because you want to be able to recruit the kind of kids that are going to have a chance to play professional baseball. But at the same time, I think he has to shift his thinking a little bit when he looks at some of his classes, knowing that a lot of these guys he's going to only have for 3 years. And a lot of seniors aren't going to be there for 4 years. And that's an adjustment that the staff will have to make when they go through recruiting. They'll certainly do that and go from there. Now, they face Furman today in game number one. Game number two tomorrow, they will face Miami of Ohio. And then in game number three, we didn't get a chance to get into this with him because I know he had a limited amount of time, but it will be a game against Northwestern. And as odd as that sounds, you know, facing a Big Ten team as they will in South Carolina, it will not be a conference game. In fact, the Spartans do not play Northwestern this year in the Big Ten. So this was just a chance for these two schools to get together and play once this year at least, because they will not have a chance to do so in the Big Ten. The Big Ten series this year for Michigan State actually begins in late March, and they will begin on the road at Columbus in Ohio State before coming home and having a three-game series with the University of Michigan in early April. Two of those games this year will be in East Lansing. The middle game on Saturday will be played in Ann Arbor. The Crosstown Showdown is normally early in the season, but this year has been pushed back a little bit till April 11th, and that's when that will take place against the Lansing Lugnuts. Then the Spartans are home with Indiana. They go on the road to Minnesota, and then they have two straight weekends at the end of April, early May, where they are at home with Purdue and Illinois before finishing the Big Ten season on the road at Iowa and on the road at Penn State as well. So that's a little bit of an update with Michigan State baseball as they get ready to begin their season. We want to remind you that you can get involved in today's program by dialing 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR or toll free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. And we invite you to stay tuned for more sports talk right after this short break on AM 870.
What would Isaac Newton be like if he were alive today? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at a new play that reimagines Newton. Then Catherine Bowden tells us how she came to terms with losing her hearing. It's an invisible disability affecting 50 million Americans. That's on Science Friday from NPR.
All right, that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870.
Good afternoon. This is Scott Pohl with the weather. Today, an inch or less of new snow, our high 27. Tonight, a low of 16 with 1 to 2 inches of snow, then 2 to 3 inches of snow Saturday with a high of 25. On Sunday, it'll become partly sunny, and we'll have a high in the mid-20s.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson. In today, we'll be with you until 2 o'clock. We want to remind you again of those telephone numbers if you want to get involved in today's program, 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or toll-free at 877-952-7870. Let's go out to our phone lines right now and welcome in Chuck, who's joining us today in Hazlett. Hi, Chuck. How are you?
Hey, Jeremy. Good. And yourself?
Doing well, thank you. What's going on with you today?
Good. Hey, listen, I'm just talking about MSU basketball a little bit. This has got to be quite a coup for Denzel Valentine, having Trice out with the number of minutes he's getting and the experience he's gaining. I can certainly see this helping in the long run, but my question is about Travis. Since this is his second concussion, and I realize you're not a doctor, does this mean that he is more susceptible to concussions as time goes on?
Well, that, again, is my understanding. And, again, I I am not a doctor, and I don't pretend to play one on TV. But that is my understanding, is that once you do, from the medical people that I have spoken with, that once you do have one, it does make you more susceptible to having them again in the future. And that's why we have not seen him back in the lineup at this point, is that the medical staff at Michigan State, the trainers, the doctors, being very careful with Travis and making sure that he is 100% healthy and that this, you know, does not happen again. And you know, both times it's been kind of fluke plays. But, you know, it is unfortunate. You're right. Other guys have had to step in and take on bigger roles, but they are not going to bring him back until he is 100% healthy.
Maybe he could borrow one of those Nike football helmets.
You know, it's too bad because Travis is one of their best outside shooters. And yeah. one of the other things that he's done this year is just improved his defense. And with as thin as Michigan State is right now at the guard position, they could certainly use him and use his minutes. So I don't see this as being, and again, I don't have any inside knowledge on this, but I don't see this being a season-ending thing for him. But I don't see him obviously back this weekend. And then, you know, like Tom Izzo says, it's really a day-to-day thing. And I think a lot of times, like the first time, you know, one day he was just all of a sudden feeling a lot better and could do things at full speed. So they're just taking it slow with him right now and waiting for that time when he can hop back in.
Well, yeah, and then how will his conditioning be and how rusty will he be when he does come back?
Well, there is something to that. Yeah, after you take a couple weeks off, it does take some time to get some of those things back. I think he can do some work on the bike and some of those things as well, and he has participated in, you know, some shooting things at practice and some of those things. Just nothing full go yet.
Sure, sure. All right. Well, you're doing a great job, Jeremy. I'd like to see you get this gig full time.
Thank you. I appreciate the kind words. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, guy. Go green.
All right. A lot of things going on. A lot of things going on at Michigan State this weekend, and the MSU basketball game in Nebraska will something that we will be taking a close look at over the weekend, because It's your typical trap game, and it's been talked about many times, but coming off that emotional win over Michigan and knowing that you have number one Indiana coming up next Tuesday, and you're going on the road to play a team that's only won a handful of Big Ten games, that would be daunting for anybody to kind of overlook Nebraska, and Tom Izzo will make sure that the Spartans don't do that for sure. All right, let's go back out to our phone lines at 355-953-9527, 355-9527, 355-WKAR, or if you're outside the 517 area code, 877-952-7870. And welcome in Mike, who's on a cell phone this afternoon. Hi, Mike, how are you?
Hey, Jeremy, how you doing today?
Doing well. What's going on with you?
So did they make you permanent on this gig or what?
No. No. What WKAR is doing is having some guest hosts come in on a weekly basis. That way it's a little bit easier, I think, for the staff here and for the listeners, that you don't have one guy on Monday, one guy on Tuesday, one guy on Wednesday. It is a position that I am interested in, but it will be a couple of months before a decision is made on exactly who will be taking over on a full-time basis.
Well, pulling for you. I think you do a good job.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the kind words. What else is going on with you today?
Well, my brother and I are taking the old bus trip. I belong to the Fast Break Club for the MSU women's when they play Michigan on Saturday afternoon.
Yep.
We're going to take that bus trip down there, and it's the first time we've taken a bus trip with them, so it should be kind of interesting. State's got a good winning streak against Michigan right now, and so I think it'd be kind of interesting. I heard that they remodeled Chrysler Arena, because I haven't been there in years. So it'll be kind of interesting to see that as well. Have you been there lately?
I have. I was there last year, and they've done some things since I was last there, but it is much, much better. I mean, the one thing you walk in and you notice how bright it is. When you walked into Chrysler, they call it the Chrysler Center now, which when you walked into Chrysler Arena before, it was really dark, really dingy, especially up top. But the first thing you notice is they have made some changes to where the benches are. They made some changes as to where the teams come in and out of the locker rooms. And just the overall ambiance of the Chrysler Center now is much brighter and a little bit more fan-friendly. And they still have a lot of renovations that they would like to continue there. And, you know, I think, you know, we had some discussion the other day about what David Brandon has done with the University of Michigan and the emphasis that he has placed on basketball with the new facilities. You know, he's kind of green-lighted that. So I think he deserves a lot of credit for where this program has now become under John Beilein, because they do have the resources, they do have the facilities now to make them one of the best, not just in the Big Ten, but in the country.
Lastly, Jeremy, I don't know if you listened to Tim's show yesterday, but kind of got a good laugh. He's another classic for Tim. He was interviewing one of the Michigan State hockey players who happened to be from Alaska, and Tim came, he was asking him questions, and one of his questions was, "So have you ever been to Alaska?"
The
guy chuckled a little bit, and he said, "Well, I'm from Alaska."
You know, I didn't hear the full interview, but I heard about it afterwards. And, yeah, those are the kind of things that I get to enjoy in the office a couple of days a week. So I'm glad that all the listeners on his radio show get to hear some of that, too, because we do enjoy some of those chuckles in the office when those kind of things happen. It reminds me of, you know, we had Dave Ellis in here yesterday, and he will not like me for telling this story, but he and I, when we were both young reporters at Channel 6 back in, I want to say it was, 1997, when Michigan State played in the Aloha Bowl out in Hawaii, they played the University of Washington, and he and I traveled out there to cover the game, and we had a one-on-one interview with Nick Saban. And Nick was, as he usually was, rushed for time and having to go from practice to another event or whatever, but made 10 minutes for us. And we got him, and we were all set up. And Dave's first question was, "Well, Nick, what's it like to be in Hawaii for the first time?" And he kind of looked at him, he smiled, he deadpanned, he said, "Well, you know, my third time here has been really fun." So that's how that interview started, and we all do it. It all happens every once in a while. But, yeah, that was funny yesterday when Tim said that.
Okay, well, I think you did a real good job during the week. I was able to listen to quite a bit, and we're pulling for you. I hope you get the job.
Well, thanks. Call Terry back on Monday. Terry Braverman will be here and kind of give a little update on that bus trip, because I know many people have taken that with the Fast Break Club and have really enjoyed it. So I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on what it's like on Monday after you make the trip this weekend.
Okay, thanks a lot. Have a nice weekend.
All right, Mike, same to you. And root those Spartans on down in Ann Arbor. The ladies will be facing the University of Michigan. All right, it's 1:30 here on this Friday afternoon. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV. And we will be talking sports with you until 2 o'clock, and we invite you to get involved in today's program. We do have a guest coming up at 1:40, so if you have anything that you want to talk about today, now is a great time to do it at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. Couple of housekeeping notes. We did mention that Terry Braverman will be here next week. Of course, you can hear him at the Breslin Center and at Spartan Stadium, the voice of the Spartans over the PA. And Terry was in here yesterday getting a little lay of the land, and he will do a great job next week here on Sports Talk. So make sure you call in and chat with Terry as well. We also want to remind you that we do have a pair of tickets, and we will be giving those away at the drawing at the end of today's show, and that is for Tuesday's Michigan State-Indiana game, and we'll do a drawing for those. Alex is on the other side of the glass today producing today's program, and we will take your phone calls at 884-4783 here over the next 20 or 25 minutes or so, and we will have our drawing at the end of today's program where we will let you know who is today's winner. Again, that is 884-4783 if you want to be involved in the drawing for those Michigan State basketball tickets as the Spartans get ready to tangle with Indiana on Tuesday. And what a game that will be if both Michigan State and Indiana can take care of their business over the weekend. Of course, the Spartans are heading to Lincoln, Nebraska to face the Cornhuskers. And Nebraska is one of those teams that is a little scary at home. I mean, they have a 3-9 record in the Big Ten, and they have struggled at times, but they're a team that can certainly jump up and get you. And now Indiana, of course, is home tomorrow as well. They have the rivalry game with Purdue coming up in the afternoon. And again, that was a game early on in the season where the Hoosiers went to Purdue and really had their way with their arch rivals in a big win in West Lafayette. So Indiana and Michigan State again tied for the top spot in the Big Ten at 10-2. And then there are three teams at 8-4 right behind them. Michigan, Ohio State, and Wisconsin are all right behind them, a couple of games behind. You know, there was a big outcome last night. Minnesota beat Wisconsin in overtime, 58-53. Ohio State was able to hold on and beat Northwestern, 69-59. That game was tied at halftime. And then Iowa squeaked out a 2-point win over Penn State, 74-72. The Nittany Lions still winless in the Big Ten, 0-12 this year. And they have a lot of work left to do if they're hoping to get their first win of the season. And the Nittany Lions will go to Ann Arbor to play on Sunday. That's a game you can see on the Big Ten Network. Will certainly be difficult for Penn State to get their first win of the year in the Big Ten on the road in Ann Arbor, but that game is coming up on Sunday. But the Michigan State game with Nebraska, for me, is the clear trap game, and that's what Tom Izzo at this point has to guard against, is making sure that his team can bring that intensity that they had on Tuesday night and transfer that over into getting ready to play a team that is not as good as they are. And that will be the task for Michigan State, is to get ready for that game, make sure that they do not have any kind of letdown, that they are not looking forward to that Indiana game. And I don't suspect that they will, but I don't think that you know, it's going to be an easy victory for Michigan State. Nebraska plays very, very well at home, and they have they've had a chance to upset some opponents, but at the end of the games, they really haven't had the athletes to kind of stay with some of the upper echelon teams in the Big Ten. But I expect that they will give Michigan State all they can handle, at least for a half, if not 30 minutes in that game. Let's go back out to our phone lines this afternoon and welcome in John, who's joining us in Diamonddale. How are you, John?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Hey, I had a question. I've wondered this before. I know that Tom Crane, the Indiana coach, was an assistant for Coach Izzo. And my question is, do they ever talk, like, during the season, call each other, have lunch together or anything like that, or they just kind of keep off limits from one another? I'm just wondering if you would know that, have a comment.
Yeah, actually, they do talk. And coaches talk frequently with other coaches in the conference that they know very well and around the country. They don't usually talk the week or so leading up to playing each other, but absolutely, those two are still very much friends to this day, and they do speak once in a while. But talking to Tom Izzo in the past, they usually don't do so kind of a week or so leading up to playing
right,
each other.
Yeah, okay. But would they ask one another? I mean, I imagine, you know, would Izzo ever ask Coach Crane, how did you handle Michigan or how did you handle Minnesota or what about that? Would that type of conversation go on?
Oh, absolutely.
How's the wife? Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Yep. Those are the kind of things that they will bounce off each other. And you know, they really have a good idea because, you know, these coaches break down film so precisely that they have a pretty good idea. But if there's any question about, you know, hey, how did you handle this situation or what did you do here? Yeah, absolutely. They would share those ideas for sure.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to maybe getting some tickets.
All right, John. We appreciate the phone call today and hope you have a great weekend as well. That's an interesting fraternity, the coaching fraternity, because, you know, you do have guys who work very hard for certain coaches as assistants. They do get the chance to be head coaches, and then sometimes they have to play against each other. I mean, it's well known that Tom Izzo and Tubby Smith are very good friends, and Tom has said, you know, you don't like to play against your good friends, and Tom Crean is certainly one of those. And it's something you have to do in the business. You don't like to do it all the time. But Tom Izzo knew that when Tom Crean was hired at the University of Indiana, or Indiana University, that things would be on an upswing for the Hoosier basketball program. And Crean has certainly done a great job of that. Victor Oladipo, in my mind, is the defensive player of the year in the Big Ten. And it should get some votes for player of the year. You know, Trey Burke, I said earlier in the year on Twitter that he was my Big Ten player of the year. And I would still have to put him, you know, in the discussion, but I think Oladipo should get some consideration just because of the way that he plays on both ends of the floor and the way he does it with the consistency, because he really does play. He can score the basketball in a couple different ways. He can take it to the basket. He can hit jump shots. But the way he plays defense, I think, kind of leads that Indiana team, kind of the way that Keith Appling has played defense here over the last couple of weeks for Michigan State, that those guys have really led the way for their respective teams defensively and gotten things going for them. So that will be, again, an interesting matchup coming up on Tuesday, but we invite you to stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break, right here on WKAR AM 870.
It is a self-evident truth that things which are equal to the same thing are equal to each other.
On the next Fresh Air, Tony Kushner talks about writing the screenplay for Lincoln, and Wes Anderson talks about writing the screenplay for his film Moonrise Kingdom. Both screenplays are nominated for Oscars. Join us.
All right, that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 p.m. right here on AM 870 WKAR Radio.
Snow today, but an inch or less of new accumulation with a high in the mid-20s. We're looking for 1 to 2 inches of snow tonight and a low of 16. 2 to 3 inches of snow Saturday, the high 25. It'll become partly sunny on Sunday and the high will be 26. I'm Scott Pohl.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV. Here with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. We are talking sports with you at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or toll-free at 877-952-7870. We want to go back out to our guest line right now and welcome in Okemos grad and Oakland University junior Travis Bader to the program this afternoon. Hey, Travis, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Good to talk to you again. Coming off a nice win last night, a one-point win over South Dakota, 76-75. You guys are over the 500 mark for the season. I think right now you'd have to say playing some of your best basketball of the season.
Yeah, definitely. You know, these last couple of games, we've, you know, really come together as a ball club, and, you know, everybody's just gotten better each and every day at practice, and, you know, we're really clicking right now, and you know, we got a hard-fought win last night. I think we're down about 8 points at halftime. I got myself in a little bit of foul trouble, but, you know, everybody stepped up, and we came together in the second half and just pulled through and got the win.
Well, you guys always play such a brutal non-conference schedule where you go on the road and play a lot of top-tier teams. Greg Campy has been known for that over the years. How does that really prepare you guys to get ready to play in the Summit League once you get there?
You know, just the size and the quickness of the competition, you know, it just really helps. And, you know, in the past, we go play these teams and, you know, we play Michigan State, Pittsburgh, teams like that. And we just go in there thinking, you know, it's sweet to be here and, you know, look at the arena, taking pictures, stuff like that. But, you know, over these past couple of years, we've really had a different mindset of where, you know, we can go into these arenas and play these, you know, top 25 schools and get some good wins. You know, we this year we went and battled Pitt really hard. You know, we were up the whole game and then kind of let it slip away at the end. And so we played a really good game against them. And then, you know, we've beat Tennessee the past couple of years. And so, you know, it's a great experience, you know, for the younger guys coming in and playing this competition. And it really just helps, you know, prepare us for the Summit League and, you know, just helps us overall.
Travis, what did you learn from that Pittsburgh game? Because I know when you look back at it, you do look at it as one that kind of got away, that you probably should have won the game. But what did you guys learn about that maybe helped you in another game later on this season?
It was definitely a learning experience. You know, to go into a place like Pittsburgh, you know, brutal fans and just the environment and, you know, such a great basketball team. And, you know, to beat up, I don't even remember how much we were up, but, you know, 14 points and, you know, towards the end, we kind of let it slip away, but, you know, it just taught us a lot of things. You know, me personally, you know, I missed a key free throw, the front end of a one-on-one that game. And so, you know, to me, you know, I just, you know, I take those pressure situations now and I embrace them and I want to be the guy who's knocking on the free throw to, you know, win the game or stuff like that. But, you know, it's really helped our team just, you know, focus more down the stretch and just become a lot tougher.
Travis Bader, Oakland junior, joining us for a couple of minutes here on Sports Talk on AM 870. Travis, you've had a tremendous junior season so far. 117 three-pointers made so far this season. That leads the NCAA right now. The next closest player to you has only made 96 threes. Tell me a little bit about what you're able to do to get open, and, you know, you're shooting a really good percentage as well. You're making 40% of your threes. Well, why the success so far this year?
You know, the success just really comes from my teammates. You know, Ryan Bass at point guard, Duke Mundy, Drew Valentine, you know, all these guys do a great job of just, you know, screening me in transition in the offense and looking to get me open. You know, Duke Mundy, he's a transfer from Providence. This is his first year playing at Oakland. And, you know, he's done a really good job of just coming in and you know, understanding the system. And just, you know, he looks for me every time down the court. And that's, you know, what every shooting guard in the country wants from their point guard. And same thing with Ryan Bass, you know, every time in transition, you know, sometimes he thinks they have a wide open layup and they're looking for me. They're looking to kick it back to me for an open shot. So it just really just shows the trust they have in me. And, you know, Drew Valentine, Corey Petros, you know, they do a great job every single time of just trying to screen my guy and trying to knock him out, trying to send a message. You know, if you're going to chase Travis Bader, you're going to get knocked out a couple times. And so, you know, I really owe it all to my teammates.
Fifth so far in scoring in the nation. When you look at that, What do you think when you hear that?
You know, a bit of a shocker. I don't really like to focus on those things. You know, individual awards. You know, Coach Campy does a great job with just, you know, focusing on the team and making sure everybody's, you know, bought into the system. And it's about Oakland basketball. It's not about the individual. So, you know, I'm just focused on the next game, and I'm just, you know, focused on getting better every single day.
All right, well, we'll get the individual questions out of the way then. I have one more because I think you're getting close to the all-time three-point record at Oakland University. Eric Kangas, another local product, I believe he had 348 in his career, and if my math is right, you're about 13 behind him right now. So good chance you may eclipse that mark before this season is over. What would that mean to you when your career is all said and done if you hold that record?
I mean, that would be awesome. You know, Eric Kangas was such an amazing shooter. You know, ever since I've been here at Oakland, I've just heard endless stories about Eric Kangas and, you know, the work he put in and, you know, what he did to get himself at the top of that list. And so, you know, it'd be a tremendous accomplishment. But at the same time, I owe it all to my teammates. I've had, you know, great teammates that have just, you know, looked to get me open and give me the ball and just trust my shooting abilities. You know, Reggie Hamilton, he's playing overseas this year, but you know, it was a pleasure playing with him, and he did the same thing. He was a great scorer, but you know, he always looked to find me and kick it out to me because he had trust in me that I would knock down shots. So it would be you know, a great accomplishment, but at the same time it goes all to my teammates and Coach Campy and the coaching staff.
Travis, kind of take me through your journey there at Oakland and maybe even going back to your senior year in Okemos when you decided that was the place that you wanted to go. What made Oakland the place for you, and how have you made so much improvement in your game between when you left Okemos and where you're at right now?
Well, when I left Okemos, I think I was about 164 pounds. You know, I was just a twig. You know, still not the biggest guy, but you know, I definitely think I've added a lot of strength and, you know, bulked my body. You know, I've become quicker, a better shooter. You know, just everything has just gotten way better since high school. You know, and that comes, I just owe that all to the coaching staff and, you know, trusting them. My first year there, I redshirted. And, you know, no one wants to redshirt their first year coming into college. But, you know, I put my trust into the coaches and just worked really hard every single day at getting better and, you know, getting my body bigger, quicker, and preparing for the next level. And then what was the other part of that question?
Just what you've done in the off season to get yourself ready, and maybe if you can talk about the amount of shots that you've taken here over the last couple of summers to get you where you are right now.
Yeah, you know, I've always prided myself on my work ethic. You know, even in high school, you know, when they're, you know, talking about other people, maybe, you know, this is the best person in the state, this is the best person in the area, and so, you know, I've always tried to find little things where I can motivate myself. You know, I'm a gym rat, and, you know, when I first got here, me and Drew Valentine, you know, we would always go into the gym together. Always be the first ones in there getting shots up, and, you know, the older guys would kind of look at that like, you know, look at these freshmen kind of coming in here, and they're working harder than us, and that would kind of inspire the rest of the team to do the same thing. So, you know, I pride myself on my work ethic, and.
Well, you've graduated with a degree in communications in 3 years. You're working on your master's currently. I have a feeling that if you'd like, basketball, I think, would like to be in your future. Tell me a little bit about maybe what you hope to do, you know, once you're done next year at Oakland.
Definitely love to keep playing basketball. You know, that's been my dream ever since I was a little kid, whether it's NBA or overseas. You know, I definitely love to pursue basketball as far as I can, as long as I can. You know, but I'm one of those guys who realizes that, you know, at any point something could happen, and you know, I need to be able to, you know, take myself in other places and explore other options. So, you know, right now I'm just really focusing hard on you know, getting my master's in communication and seeing where that can take me.
Well, we could certainly see you sitting in a chair like this, or if basketball wasn't in your future, what would you like to do with that degree?
I used to think it was coaching. My dad and my sister kind of like to remind me that I'm crazy for thinking that could be an option.
I'm sure so, they remind you all the time of that.
Yeah, so I don't know about that, but, you know, that'd definitely be interesting to take a look into. But I've also thought about broadcasting. I think there was a point where you told me, you know, I might be a little crazy for thinking that one, too. So, sorry now, you know, I'm just keeping my options open, just trying to, you know, focus on school.
Well, what's it been like for you to grow up? And for those people that don't know, your dad was the swimming coach here for Michigan State many years. You know, you talked about your sister who's, I think, what, volleyball coach? Is that right, at Miami?
She's a tennis coach.
Tennis coach. That's right, the tennis coach. So what was it like for you kind of growing up in a family of, first of all, athletes, but your dad, you know, coached for so many years and then later on was the director of basketball operations for Tom Izzo in Michigan State?
You know, it was, you know, competitive. We're a competitive family. You know, I'd see my sisters, you know, before she became a tennis coach, you know, she was a tennis player at Michigan State and a great player, and I'd always see my parents go to their matches, and I just see, you know, how intense everything was and how badly she wanted to win and how badly my parents wanted to see her win and do well. And that, you know, that transformed when I was playing in high school. My dad worked with Coach Izzo in the Michigan State basketball program, and so you know, I've seen it all. I've been to all their practices at Michigan State, and you know, me and my dad, after every single high school game, you know, we'd sit down and we'd talk about, you know, what I did right, what I did wrong, and just everything. So, you know, I've definitely seen everything that their coaching experiences have taught them.
How much fun has it been for you to come back to the Breslin Center here the past couple of years and get a chance to play against Michigan State with a lot of friends and family in the stands?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, you know, that's, you know, everybody's dream, you know, to play at a place like Michigan State, and especially for me, you know, with my dad working on the coaching staff. And, you know, I know all the coaches, I know all the players, all the past players, and, you know, I've been around there and they all know me. And so, you know, it was a great experience just to be back there and, you know, Coach Izzo, you know, just embraced me before and after the game. And, you know, he's been a big influence in my life and just, you know, a great role model. And, you know, he's helped me out in so many ways. So, you know, it's just great to be able to go back there and all my friends in the stands and everybody. So it was awesome.
Travis Bader, a shooting guard at Oakland University, joining us here for a couple minutes on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. Travis, a couple things before we let you go. How have you had to change your game? Because now I imagine when teams game plan against Oakland, their first thing is to try and take away you and that three-point shot. So how have you had to go about changing some of the things you do on the floor because defenses are paying more attention to you?
A big part of it has been just watching more film, you know, just sitting down with the coaches and just looking at how, you know, people are guarding me, the different ways they're guarding me and how I can get open. You know, I place a big emphasis on, you know, moving without the ball and, you know, how I come off screens with different cuts. And so, you know, it's just been, you know, just a lot more me looking into the game and watching film and becoming a student of the game. That's the biggest thing probably. But, you know, as I said before, a lot of it comes from my teammates, and if I'm being hugged and my jersey's being held and I can't get open, you know, I'll gladly let my guy hug me while my team plays 4-on-4. So it's just, you know, it just comes from reading screens and stuff like that and understanding what different teams are going to do.
Well, you guys got over the 500 mark with that win last season, an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament, probably not likely. So what's the mindset here as you guys get ready to finish up the end of the regular season and get ready for that Summit League tournament, knowing that that's really going to be the key for you if you guys are going to get to where you want to be, and that's the NCAA tournament?
Just keep doing what we're doing. You know, we've done a great job these last couple weeks of just focusing on the next game, and you know, we're going to continue to do that. We've, you know, gotten way better and making great strides in our game, every single person and every single day we're coming in and focusing on just winning the day and focusing on the next game. So we're going to continue to do that, and hopefully we get better each and every single day.
Well, Travis, we appreciate a couple of minutes. Again, congratulations on the win last night over South Dakota, 76-75. 117 three-point shots made this year. You had 124 last year. So certainly getting ready to eclipse that mark from last year. But again, we appreciate a couple of minutes. Best of luck down the road. We always try and catch you guys when you're on TV and throw a couple of highlights there here on television so all the local people can kind of keep track of what you're doing. So again, appreciate a couple minutes and good luck the rest of the way, okay?
No problem. Thank you for having me.
All right, Travis Bader, shooting guard at Oakland University, joining us for a couple of minutes here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. And Alex, a super, super young man. I've had the opportunity to cover Travis now for going on 7 years, you know, since he was a sophomore at Okemos High School. And to watch his growth has been a lot of fun to watch. And again, he is one of the better shooters, not just in the Summit League, but in the whole NCAA. And again, he's made 117 three-point shots this year. The closest competitor to him in the NCAA only has 96, so you can see what he's done. He's obviously taken a lot of shots, but he's still shooting 40% from the three-point line, so he has done a great job. And again, he's got 335 for his career. He needs just 14 more to eclipse Eric Kangas and break that record for the all-time record for 3 points made at Oakland University. Alex, do we want to draw for those tickets right now? We have two tickets for the Michigan State-Indiana game on Tuesday. Are we ready to draw for those?
We are ready. So the two winners for their pairs of tickets for Tuesday's game against Indiana, one is Travis Temple from Lansing, the other winner, Paul Schmidt from Hadlett. So keep staying tuned, and we'll give you a call at the end of the show.
All right, so Travis and Paul both get a pair of tickets for that Michigan State-Indiana game. That will be one that will certainly be a game that will go a long way toward deciding the Big Ten championship next year. And there's a lot of things going on this weekend. One of them is the Michigan State hockey team. And they have a pair of games this weekend against Northern Michigan. And let's go out to our guest line right now. And who do we have today? Okay, Wayne, how are you today?
Good.
You want to talk a little hockey quickly before the end of today's show?
Michigan and Michigan State are down, and I see they have more recruits from Michigan. Nothing against Michigan hockey, but they used to recruit Western Canada and Canada a lot. Is that a budget thing? Is that a college hockey thing? An economic thing where the kids are playing for money in Canada and not coming here, or what?
Well, that's a great question, Wayne, and one that I wish I had more than 2 minutes to answer. But there are some things that college hockey is going through, trying to keep the best players playing in the NCAA, whether it's Michigan or Michigan State. I have a good friend that works for what's called College Hockey Incorporated, and basically what they're charged with doing is trying to let the best players know that they can play in college hockey and they don't need to go to Canada to play in the OHL or anything like that. So it's not necessarily a budget thing. I think a lot of players and things are cyclical as to what's going on. Hockey recruiting is done 3 and 4 years out. So a lot of what Tom Anastas is recruiting, we won't see that happen until next year, really the year after, the kids that he's gone after.
Well, whatever happened to that hockey writer, Neil Kepke or something like that?
Yeah, Neil Kepke wrote for the Lansing State Journal, and he now does some. He does some. Well, he's no longer with the Lansing State Journal, but he does do some freelance work for the university, and you can read his articles on MSUSpartans.com if you go under the hockey tab. He does write some things for the university now.
All right, thanks for taking my call.
All right, Wayne, we appreciate it today talking Michigan State hockey. We really didn't have a chance to talk a whole lot about Spartan hockey, but they do have, we gave away some tickets earlier in the week, but they do have two key games coming up this weekend against Northern Michigan over at Munn Ice Arena. An early face-off tonight, 6:35, over at Munn Ice Arena. And Michigan State, if they win both of those games, can get out of 11th place, which is last place in the CCHA, and vault them into 10th because Northern is just 4 points ahead of them heading into the weekend. Well, it's been a very busy week here on Sports Talk, and we've had a lot of great guests. I've enjoyed taking your phone calls as well. I want to thank Jake Boss Jr., Michigan State baseball coach, and again, the Spartans will begin their season in about 3 hours down in South Carolina. I also want to say thank you to Travis Bader as well former Ole Miss chieftain and now standout at Oakland University. They've done a great job, as have Aaron and Alex on the other side of the glass helping us this week, and we appreciate all their hard work. A lot of phone calls today trying to get in the drawing for those tickets, so we hope that our two winners have a great time at the game coming up on Tuesday night. And again, Terry Braverman will be in the hot seat coming up next week. You can listen to him all next week on Sports Talk from 1 to 2 o'clock. We want to thank all of our guests and all of our callers this week. I'm Jeremy Sampson from Michigan State University. This is AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Thanks again so much for tuning in, and we will talk to you again very soon.
This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.